Let us pray. Father in heaven, we would draw near thee today because thou art very near to all who call upon thee as children of a heavenly Father. We confess our unworthiness and pray for thy sustaining grace for the renewal of life. We bless thee, O Lord, for our school and for all who serve its common life, for the churches that sustain us, for trustees who give counsel, for administrators who guide, for a faculty that shares learning, for students who open their minds to thee and to us. For all these and other good gifts, O Lord, we thank thee. Give this day to our trustees the measure of thy wisdom, that we may be blessed by their devotion to our school. Give them safe journey to us and from us, and sustain them with thy life as we know it in Christ Jesus. Hear us in the name of thy dear Son, our Lord. Amen. Our speaker for today is Dr. David Green Anderson, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Easley, South Carolina. Dr. Anderson was born in Hong Kong, the child of missionary parents. And his father, the late Park Harris Anderson, served for 13 years as a member of the faculty at the New Orleans Theological Seminary. Dr. Anderson is a graduate of Furman University and of the New Orleans Seminary. He has been a distinguished pastor and leader among the Baptists of South Carolina. He served as president of the South Carolina Baptist Convention in 1961-62 and in 1962-63. After our special music, Dr. Anderson will speak to us.
though we are exceedingly grateful for every influence that has come to us in the days of our youth, during the time in which we were both in high school, college, and in seminary, it is amazing that we can transfer loyalties from one school unto another. I never thought that I would ever encourage anybody in the days of my ministry to go anywhere except to New Orleans. But during these 3 years now, and beginning a new term as the trustee of Southeastern Seminary, it's amazing how I think of only one seminary now. And I encourage anyone that comes and talks to me about other schools, I never think of but one, and that's of Southeastern. Boy, I tell you, I can speak over this thing, can't I? My voice seems to be rearing all the way back to the back and back to the front again. This is a happy privilege to come and to meet with you in this devotional period today. How we rejoice in these opportunities of worship and of meditation and of devotion. In that passage in the third chapter of the book of Colossians, where Paul again tries in every way possible to exalt Christ, as truly he does in every passage of the Word of God, he brings us under this phrase that I want to use as the basis of my message this morning. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There is a marvelous richness in the word of Christ. Day by day, I'm amazed as I seek to memorize certain passages of Scripture, how those Scriptures come to bless me and to enrich my life all during the day. During the early part of my ministry, my father suggested to me, he said, son, if you want to do something that's big and something that will be of rich reward to you across through the years, memorize every passage of Scripture that you're going to preach from. I'll do it for several reasons. First of all, because the Scripture itself will grip your heart. Second, as you're journeying along from place to place, appointment to appointment, or waiting for these innumerable committee meetings to meet, he said the richness of the Word of God will dwell upon you and will bring that depth of soul that you will need. And then he said, of course, as you stand and as you read from God's Word from memory, there will come that richness of experience into the lives of others. And so across through these years, I have just tried day by day to add to my knowledge out of the Word of God some passage that I've committed unto memory. Some years ago, I had an interesting experience. I was a student in college and was going to visit with my parents. A group of us were to meet together in our state capital in Columbia, South Carolina, and we were going to New Orleans. I had a few moments to wait as the group was gathering, so I went through the Baptist bookstore. I don't know of any better place where you can spend a little time waiting than in the Baptist bookstore. So while I was there, I was going from bookshelf to bookshelf and from table to table, and I picked up just a tiny little book entitled Promises for the Day. I turned just to see what the promise was for that day. It was a day in December, for we were going for the Christmas holidays. And I shall never forget the experience that was mine as I looked at the promise for that day. He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not leave thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not. What a promise just for that day. And all during the balance of that day, the richness out of that word of God stole upon my heart. So that when we had, on one or two occasions, some very narrow escapes, the richness and the depth of that promise was wonderful for my life. There is a richness, isn't there? There is a depth to the Word of Christ. During these recent days, I have, in my church, along with you and your churches, I'm sure, made every attempt to expose whatever truths that we might find in the witness of John unto the Lord. And as I've gone from chapter to chapter and pored over each one of those words, trying as best I could to understand it for my own life, I couldn't help from but think how wonderfully rich is the word of Christ. And Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Take, for example, and I don't know what specific word he's speaking about here, and I believe Dr. Robertson would remind us that this does not necessarily mean a specific word. It can embrace all of the words of Christ. Or it also can be the word that we have received about Christ. And all of that is rich, isn't it, and deep and meaningful for us, day by day. Rich, rich. Take, for example, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. How rich, how rich. Just to take the word of Christ and to meditate upon it. It doesn't seem as though it has been too long since I shared an experience that you're sharing today, those of you that are students. And I sat through the chapel services. I don't remember all of them. And I'm sure that you will not either. But there are many that I do remember. And out of those days that come to bless my heart and to fragrance my life are those times when again and again the speakers, sometimes faculty members, occasionally students, many times outsiders, just came to bring us the richness of the Word of God. And it came to me, and it has come to me across through the years, in increasing power, in meditation, in study, and in committing it to memory. Dr. Brown mentioned the follicle that I was born and brought up on the mission field. My parents were missionaries to South China for, I suppose, some 30 years before the last war. He had started back to the Orient for his last term of service, he felt, and was going to Shanghai. The Chinese-Japanese War broke out, and Dr. Madry cabled him and asked him if he would not get off in Honolulu and spend a year there. So he did, and during that year meditated and tried to seek the Lord's will for him, for he had a way of feeling that he would not get back to the Orient, that this was the beginning of a grave crisis, a world struggle. And so when Dr. Hamilton cabled him and asked him if he would come back and join the faculty, he accepted and resigned from the Foreign Mission Board. I'll never forget an experience that he shared with me out of those days. He said that as he was out in Honolulu waiting for the revelation of God, of God's will for his life. He said he could only find it in just meditating upon God's will. And he said day by day he would bring himself to that same prayer, what is thy will, O God? For nearly 30 years he had given his life in the Orient. And now it seemed that the door was closed. What door then would be open? And as he meditated, there came to him the answer. When I was a boy, we were brought up in Canton, just across the Rose Street, and just all shortly to our right from our missionary's residence was the home of Dr. Ms. M.T. Rankin. Mrs. Rankin was an aunt of mine. My mother was her sister. And I was in their home so many, many times. Our overseas group, those Chinese boys and girls and myself, all of those that were born or brought up in influence of overseas, met together each Sunday night in the Rankin home for what was then known as the BYPU. We had as a slogan that we had one of the Chinese students very graphically and very artistically to design was this that was put over the mirror of every one of us. No Bible, no breakfast. And that was in the mirror. And regardless of how bleary-eyed you might be in the morning, Inevitably, before you saw anybody, you went to the mirror, didn't you? I don't need to go to the mirror near as bad now as I used to, because I don't have much up there to take care of. But back in those days, I had a good eel, and I had to stand before the mirror and try to part it right and all that sort of thing. But no Bible, no breakfast, and I saw it up there. And I began then again meditating upon the Word of God and letting its richness dwell in my heart. Now, that's what it says here, isn't it? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Just dwell in you. We were reminded, were we not, in all of the studies, in that beautiful passage, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten Son of the Father. That dwell is just a pitcher's tent and a tabernacle, very, very close by. Pitcher's tent right alongside my tent, and a tabernacle in my heart. And there then is the lodging place of the Word of Christ. It's to dwell in my heart. So that as I come in or as I go out, that indwelling Word of Christ will bring that richness to my life that I need. When I go forth to battle against the forces of hell and of Satan, that indwelling Word of Christ is still there. When I come in bloody and bleeding and bruised and broken, as so many pastors are in the course of their experiences from day to day, there is that wonderful Word of Christ that can just tabernacle in my life so that I may commit all of those cares and frets unto Him, knowing that He careth for me. And so in the heat and in the struggle, in the din about me, that indwelling Word of Christ can give me that strength that I so desperately need. Now, just one other word, if I may. What is it all about, and what's it for, this Word of Christ that can dwell in my hearts in all richness? Well, it brings in wisdom, doesn't it? And that's what he says, in all wisdom. That doesn't necessarily mean that it will unlock all of the difficulties of Greek and Hebrew and will help me to know without constant, diligent probing and studying all of the various truths and avenues of approach that I need day by day. Doesn't necessarily mean that. But it does mean that in the richness of the Word of God, in the richness of Christ as it dwells in my heart, there is wisdom. There's wisdom for life. There's wisdom for decisions. There's wisdom in human relations. There's wisdom in love. There's wisdom. Oh, the depth. Oh, the depth. How rich is the Word of Christ. I have a custom that's mine. I've done it for a number of years. It's very irritating to my family. When I stop for a red light, I inevitably pray, or I meditate upon God's Word. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Instead of chafing under that moment of quietness like most of us do, I guess, or some of us anyway, I've learned to have a moment of meditation, to let the Word of Christ dwell in all richness in my heart. I shared that with my family one day, and my son said, "Well, Dad, I wondered what in the world you were doing, because sometimes the light has gone green and back to red again before you want to go across." And he said, always the car behind you honks to let you know that the light's changed and you're ready. And I said, well, I depend upon him to let me know that it's there and I don't have to worry about it, you see. I can just try to let the word of Christ dwell in my heart richly in all wisdom. No, in this hour day with its confusions and all of its problems, we do need that, don't we? The wisdom of the word of Christ dwelling richly in our hearts. Shall we pray? Oh, Father, we're so grateful for the moments of meditation, for their inspiration, for the quiet confidence that it brings, for the poise and direction for the day given to us in this fresh encounter with Thee and with the power of Thy Word this day, that which we need, that will bless us. In Christ's name we pray.